Hello, Alexandra.
Hello, Amy, and welcome in a new episode of
Beyond the 2B.
Today, we are going to speak about the bystander effect. But, Amy, tell me, what is the bystander effect?
The bystander effect, or bystander apathy, is a social psychological theory that states that individuals are less likely to offer help to a victim when there are other people present.
And tell me, Amy, how does it work?
Okay, so psychologically, there are many causes of the bystander effect. They range from thinking someone else is in charge to not understanding the gravity of a situation because there are other people who are not taking action. In fact, emergency first responders must be trained to ignore these feelings and offer help people whenever they see a situation they deem an emergency. This concept was popularized after the 1964 killing of Kitty Genovese in New York City, giving rise to the term Genovese syndrome. The term bystander effect was coined in 1969 by John Darley and Bill Blatain to refer to the effect of certain social pressure on emergency response in people. Okay, but I'm afraid, Alexandra, how can we tell if we have this bias?
You know, Amy, in a case of an emergency like an attack, a fight, or other, each people reacts in a different way. We can say in advance how we are going to react. However, we can analyze three main categories of people: the risk taker, the reserved one, and the one who doesn't care. The risk taker will not be afraid to intervene in the aggression, whatever it be, to stop it. He won't think about the consequence who could descend upon him. The reserved one, we have a tendency to think first about the consequence that could descend upon him despite the potential desire to intervene. And finally, there is the one who doesn't care about anybody. It's often the one who stops others from intervening or the one who not pay attention to the scene, no matter of what is happening. Rapes, violent fights, or murder. But Amy, I don't understand, why do we have this bias?
There is many reasons why we have this bias. The first one would be diffusion of responsibility. Diffusion of responsibility simply implies that bystanders do not react because they feel that other bystanders will respond to the emergency situation. Another one reason was fight or flight response. There is a scientific explanation that tells us why we think in a way that causes us to put our safety before others, and it's called the fight or flight response. The fight or flight response is a psychological reaction found to occur in an animal when it encounters an apparent threat. Humans are a bit like animals in this sense. We have a natural instinct to run away from danger, or in this case, turn the blind eye and shut the curtain. We respond by releasing hormones that cause our heart rate to increase and our blood to quickly pump to our muscles. This gives us the ability to take off running if necessary. Someone who speaks up against bullying is called an upstander. An upstander have confidence in their judgment and values and believe their action will make a difference. They are more likely to do the right thing because they take the time to stop and think before action. So you need to have confidence to intervene. In fact, if you think you are not qualified to help in a situation, you aren't gonna help. Moreover, due to life in community, you always pay attention at what the group is doing. So if anyone helps, you don't gonna help. Some research showed that this bias can depend on your culture. Individualist society contain loose bonds between individuals, causing individuals to have the notion to look for themselves, causing an independence reward. This differs from non-individualist societies, because non-individualist societies have been shown to contain a closer community bond, thus causing an increase in bystanders and their willingness to help during certain situations. The saddest reason, and the last one, would be because violence has become commonplace. Indeed, in a risky situation, people act with their feelings. Today, a so-called shocking situation has become current. Feelings are therefore much less accountable, and people's empathy is dominated by mistrust and fear. Okay, but now I'm afraid to have this bias, but how can we get rid of it if we want to, Alexandra?
Things have already been implemented by the government, like prison sentences or fines for failure to assist a person in danger, characterized by two elements: the existence of a serious and imminent danger, as well as the refusal to help. Children should also be sensitized from an early age to others, to pay attention to those who are harassed or attacked by denouncing it or intervening a thought. It's complicated for a child to intervene in a fight or other. We have to be able to denounce harassment and various situations of violence, moral, verbal, or physical. Learning to intervene on small fights is also learning to react to all kinds of fights.
Okay, but could these biases ever be beneficial for us? And if yes, how? Can you give me an example?
I think this bias can be beneficial for us. In case of an emergency, we have to cope no matter actions. Call someone around, call the police, intervene, etc. A person's life is potentially in danger, and we don't know how their aggressor will react afterwards to everyone's watching. It could attack them too, because they are witness, so acting is a bad thing to do. But tell me, Amy, what are the dangers of this bias?
We can divide the danger in two types: danger for the victim and danger for yourself. The first one would be the danger for the victim, that you didn't want to help. If the victim is still faced with an unsafe situation, his condition could worsen, which could give way to physical or verbal abuse. If the victim is no longer in the dangerous situation, she may still need some help. Maybe your intervention could prevent the death of the victim or just lessen his trauma. The second type of danger is the one you take part without helping the victim. First of all, she can decide to take revenge. We can predict people's reaction. Maybe the victim you didn't help will see you as an abuser too, or she will just blame you for not helping her. It can be a danger too if the situation needs to intervention of the police. In this case, it can be considered as non-assistance to a person in danger, and it's punished by the law. In France, the person guilty of not assisting can be sentenced up to 5 years imprisonment and a fine of 75,000 euros. This bias seems very dangerous, but how can we take advantage of this?
The same factors that lead to the bystander effect can be used to increase helping behaviors. Individuals are more likely to behave well when they feel themselves being watched by the crowd. For example, someone who identifies as pro-environment will take more effort to recycle when they believe they are being observed.
To illustrate all our research, we decide to do a survey. We choose to do it on Instagram because for us it is important to make the young people of our generation aware of this phenomenon that has become too common. We made the survey on Amy's Instagram and Alexandra's Instagram. In this way, we could give credibility to our research because it affected a greater number of people. The question was, have you ever witnessed or been a victim of a situation in which no one has intervened?
So the result of my survey is 375 people who see my story, and only 107 respond, and the 107 there is 38 people will say yes and 69 will say no. So there is 36
Paul.
My name is Marie. So I was at the bus stop and there were these boys next to me who were staring to approach and jiggle looking at me. One of them walked up to me and started talking to me. At the beginning, there was nothing bad. He asked me my name, my age, and he told me that I was pretty. I was answering him normally until he grabbed my arm and pushed me against the window of the bus stop. People around saw the scene. He tried to kiss me several times and I pulled my head back and at the same time banged my head against the glass. There was a low noise and the people around still didn't do anything. Despite my efforts to struggle, he still managed to kiss me and I ended up insulting him. I lay floating and I started to cry and yet no one came to see me. It was one evening, a girl had drank too much, so she was carried up to a room in a bed to sleep. A boy joined her and raped her. She was unconscious at this time. Everyone in the party knew what was going to happen, but no one came up to see her. The next day, no one spoke about it, and everyone pretended not to know the story. My name is Luna, and it was this summer. I was on the bus when a young girl of about 20 came to sit right next to me when all the seats were free. She smelled very strongly of alcohol and had heartburn. I kindly asked her to go away, which she did it when I insisted. As she got out at her stop, she wanted to warn me to hit me. Everyone saw, no one came to see me, or no one went to see her. Say, just look at me. My name is Alice, and it was 4 p.m. We were walking in the street with a friend, and there was always the same man who accosted my friend, but this time he didn't accost her, he touched her. He touched her buttocks. We were passing in the street where there were a lot of people, everyone saw, but no one reacted. I finally went to see this man and yelled at him. My name is Margot, and me, I was on the bus. There was a gay couple in front of me, and there was also this group of people in the back who insulted them and threatened them. The reason for this relentlessness, they are homosexual. I did not know that it was a valid reason.
Hello, I'm Roxanne. So I was waiting at the subway station in Lyon. There was a mother and her little boy next to me, as well as a 30 years old man. The man in question started cursing this lady violently for no reason, and he has got on the subway, he followed him and continued to insult her. The people around didn't react and didn't watch the scene, so I went to her, pretending to know her. I entered into a discussion with her as if we were old friends and turned my back on this man. I spoke to her until she stopped, and when she left, this man attacked me. He insulted me, threatened me, and spat on me before he got out of the subway and left. People around had seen the whole scene. They chose to react only after the man was left. I started to cry and the girl in front of me handed me and her kerchief, and the couple next to me asked me how I felt. Hello, I'm Eva. So it was around 2 a.m. I was with two friends and we were hungry. So we went to a fast food restaurant. There was a wait ahead of us. A group of 40 years old men was right in front of us. One of them turned to look at my friend and started to insult her. I looked at my friend and told her to wait outside, but he continued to insult her. The other people didn't say anything, not even his friends. Hello, I'm Lou, and I'm gonna tell you my story. So it was out of a nightclub. I wanted to go home with my friends. We witnessed a fight between six people. There was a man on the ground who was badly beaten by the other five. The scene was shocking. There was a bloodbath on the ground. He was kicking in his face, in the ribs, everywhere. There were a lot of people nearby who were spectators, including the guards, but none moved and everyone was watching and filming the scene. I was myself a spectator. I was so petrified at the sight of all this blood and all this violence. Hi, I'm Candice and I will tell you my story. So I was in the shower when my boyfriend called to tell me that the neighbor across the street was getting hit violently by her boyfriend. I rushed out of the shower and, not knowing what else to do, I shouted at this man through the window. He heard me and started to threaten me. He was yelling at me, insulting at me, and threatening to come and kill me. He also told me that he will come and pick me up from my house, breaking it to kill me. From that moment on, I was very scared. I locked myself in my house and called the police. As I tried to close my window, I noticed that everyone in the building opposite was watching the scene. I didn't understand why did no one react or even call the police. When I looked at them, they all backed off in shame. Following this altercation, for about a week, this man tried to enter my building. He was accompanied by three other men.
My name is Lily. I was at a fanfare. A big altercation took place between two groups of people. The police were present at the scene but did nothing and watched the scene. Everyone around was scared, but not one intervened. My name is Clara. I was walking in the street after class and people were walking past me. There were a lot of people and a man starting to follow me. He hissed and insulted me, and of course nobody said anything.
My name is Solène. I was in the street and I was walking with two other boys. It must have been 10 p.m. and we saw a group of boys grab a girl between a wall and a car. They forced her to kneel down. I wanted to go help him, but my friend stopped me.
Solène, it's not your business.
I don't know what happened to this girl. My name is Luana. I was in the subway surrounded by lots of boys when suddenly someone took a girl's tablet without cause and threw it to the ground. Nobody moved or even said anything. My name is Janelle. The metro was packed, everyone was stuck, and there was an Irishman who was drunk and took my arm really hard for a few stops. Everyone saw it and I was petrified, and before leaving, he approached me and went downstairs. After that, I expressed my disgust with my forearm for a week.
My name is Yazid. I was at home and it must have been 11 p.m. when I heard gunshots in the courtyard of the building. I went downstairs and saw a man pierced by bullets. He was on the ground and a pool of blood surrounding him. Lots of people had come down like me to see what had happened. There was not one who went to see the man on the ground or who called the fire department. Everyone was afraid there would be retaliation. Hi, I'm Helwa. It was in the afternoon in a public place. I was called by a bunch of women scums. I walked up to them naively. They immediately tried to provoke me and waited for me to answer them. They ended up getting what they wanted, an unconventional response. From that moment, they spat on me and started hitting me. People were watching and just did that. Watch.
Hi, I'm Joachim. It was around 2 a.m. I was with two other friends when we passed a group of four boys who pushed us around. We said nothing and continued on our way. But they came back to us, called out to us and started to insult us. They took out bricks and knives, threatened us with them. I ended up getting a punch in the face and then we ran away. There were people walking by and everyone was watching, but no one dared to intervene.
It was Beyond Not To Be with Amy and Alexandra, and the conclusion of this podcast is don't look,
act! And don't forget to subscribe to our social networks. There are links in the description box. See you next week. Bye!